Well, wasn't it funny, too, how the second that she felt threatened or there was any kind of uncomfortableness, she threw in her sick mom right into the, my mom's sick, my mom's sick.
Yeah.
So shallow and weak.
Well, guys don't do that unless someone makes a mom joke and you're trying to nail them back. Like, my mom has cancer.
Yeah. In that case, it's funny.
Exactly. Very happy to have this next guest, a returning guest. And last time he was doing something different. He's everywhere now. You can find him at anthonycumia.com. He has a podcast there, Not for the Faint of Heart. And if you're watching the video cast, he's wearing an incredible getup. Gavin McGinnis, thanks for being on.
Salula.
Salut, ça va bien là?
No, pas du tout.
But that's right. You were telling me about the fries you ate, and it's giving you bags.
Oui, hier soir, j'ai mangé des frites. I don't know what was with them. But we were judging this comedy roast, which was pathetic, by the way. And my eyes started getting itchy. And then by the time I walked out of there, I could barely see. I put Preparation H on my face and ate Benadryl. But I'm still like, look, I look like I'm incredibly embarrassed all the time.
I am. Well, you should feel that way regardless. People listening to Wrestler are going, what's he talking about? You can see the video cast at ladderwithcrowder.com. It could just be an MSG thing. I don't know. I mean, you should be of good stock considering you ate poutine in Montreal your whole life. This should be nothing.
Maybe it was the dip. I don't know. I guess it's boring to talk about, but I just want to explain to all the women there who were hoping to use this for some sort of material. That's why I'm so much uglier than usual.
All right. So, you have the podcast now on the Anthony Cumia Podcast Network. You're working with Rebel Media up there in Canada. Great people. We kind of touched on this last time. You were born in Scotland, I want to make sure, and then you moved to Canada?
My parents are Scottish. They went down to England and had me. And then in the 70s, Canada was desperate for educated citizens because they wanted to build up their computer industry. Computers were hot. And so they just went to British schools and said, anyone here interested in physics or engineering or anything sciencey? And some people put up their hand. They go, come on aboard. We'll pay for everything. And they sort of built these suburbs, poured in these British immigrants, and made Canada.
And then Bombardier happened.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much, you know, it's funny. My ex-girlfriend, her grandfather, who actually fought for Hitler, and I think may have gotten some Hungarians killed, when he moved to Montreal, he was looking there. He wanted to get a job. And so they were building, I don't know if it was the Champlain Bridge. No, it was the Victoria Bridge. And he said, you know, I want a job, you know. They said, okay, see if you can walk up that scaffold or whatever they call it with a bridge there. See if you can walk across that and walk back. If you can, you'll get a job. So he walked up and he came back and they said, okay, he had the job. It turns out about half the people just fell. And then they opened up Bombardier and was it Pratt & Whitney. Pratt & Whitney was another one. And he went in there, started working the floor, and then he became an engineer. He became an actual engineer there. So the American success story back then could still be had in Canada. But that's what I was getting. When you and I were raised there, a lot of people raised in the United States don't realize how quickly that can go away. I mean, you had Vice, which you created, you started up, brought it to the States because the opportunity just wasn't there in Canada. Do you feel concerned with like a Bernie Sanders or a Hillary Clinton that could happen here?
Oh, totally. I mean, if she wins, Bernie Sanders can't win. If he did,
I don't know. I think he might beat her in the primary. I don't know.
If he became the next president, I mean, we already had a socialist president for 8 years. Can you imagine what you'd do? It would be like when Breitbart died. I'd be in a daze for 3 days.
I've said this about Bernie Sanders. And people are going to get really mad and I'll be audited. It's the first time where I would think of renouncing my citizenship and leaving because, I mean, you know, if you run a business, typical day for me is 14 hours right now. I haven't taken a 2-day weekend in over a year. I'm not going to put that work in so a guy like Bernie Sanders can take 90% as he claims to want to do. I think you'll see a lot of people because he's really extreme, even more so than Hillary. If that's the case and he gets what he wants, I would strongly have to consider that. Is that unreasonable?
I mean, it seems hyperbolic, but who knows? Maybe you should leave. I don't know.
90% tax he wants to put. He said if he could on the top, you know, top 1%. Top 1% is all households with over 500,000 a year. Top 10%, which he's proposed 70% tax, is any household making 150,000 a year. Any household making 150,000 a year, you're in the top 10%.
Well, we saw what happened with France. There was a mass exodus.
Right.
I mean, same with Britain. The Rolling Stones said, we love Britain, we just can't afford to live there. So I think if he does try to institute that, it can't last, because everyone with money will just start disappearing and they'll take their jobs with them.
But there's a disconnect. I mean, you're young, you're hip, you're with it. See, you got the facial hair, you're in Brooklyn. There's an entire generation of people, again, who weren't raised in Canada, so they don't see how quickly it can happen. They don't understand that a 70-90% tax, that you can't pay for the things he promises. I don't know if you've seen we did the math breakdown, and his plan was $18 trillion in additional debt to running our current deficit over the next 10 years. If you cut military spending by 100%, taxed all earnings over $1 million by 100%, you still couldn't pay for it. But people don't care.
Well, it's really the death of math. I mean, we used to push math hard in school, and people understood numbers. Now no one cares about numbers. So 30 million immigrants, 1 million immigrants, no problem. 18 trillion, it's just a big number. Can a rich guy pay it? How much does a rich guy have? Doesn't he have like 17 trillion? No. He has trillion. You can't. And I've heard Hollywood liberals say this. They just need to tax a few rich guys. Maybe George Soros and Warren Buffett could get together and pay off the debt in an afternoon. You could bleed every billionaire dry, and you'd barely take a chip off of it.
Right.
The left takes advantage of this with immigration and with the debt, where they know that no one's going to check their numbers. Same with education. You go, how much does the average American kid get per year? And they go, I think it's about $13,000 a month. And they'll go, I don't know, $400. And then just try it. Just lie and go, it's actually $50,000. And they'll go, oh. And I go, should it be more? And they go, yeah.
Right.
What's the limit? $100,000 per student? And they'll go, there is no limit. The children are our future. I'm just like, you don't understand. 2 + 2 = 4.
Well, it's a brilliant system, though. Think about it. I'm becoming less and less convinced that college is a necessity, let alone even valuable for a lot of people. But it's a brilliant system. Get them into university where they'll be indoctrinated at a relatively young, malleable age, and now declare it, like Bernie Sanders, a human right, or even Clinton is going that way, a human right, so they feel entitled to free college. And they come out and you have a voting base for years. Whereas if you look at kids who go to trade schools, who ultimately a lot of them end up opening up businesses, they're more successful. It used to be a point where it was about the same or a little bit less. As more studies come out, it's turning out that there are actually more job opportunities that pay better for kids in trade schools than college, but no one talks about it.
Well, yeah, there's this, I think with boomers, they saw that the ones who had an education made tons more money. So that became, you need an education. Now, college is almost a victim of the free market, because they went, when we have high standards, we don't get that many students. So why don't we lower the bar and invent a whole doctrine here of other courses? Like when I was in school, there was the philosophy of self was a class.
Yeah.
Philosophy of love was a class. Now we have classes like how to be gay is a class.
That's true. You texted me that because you told me, I sent something homoerotic, and you said you had learned how to become gay.
Fuck your show, Westy. It's humid here in New York.
I have to bleep that. This is terrestrial.
Oh, sorry.
You can say that in Quebec. You can say that on, I don't know what Kumia does over there, but over here.
It's a swear word. Sorry.
Yeah, French Canadian, it's not. You see it on primetime TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the F word, they use it like a period. You know that. You can turn it on to tell.
Wait, did I say the F word?
Yeah, you did. You said that, and then you also said SC.
Wow, that's weird. Sorry about that. I don't know if it was a grand Marxist scheme or if it was just they go, hey, when these people are idiots, right? They're into idiocracy, so let's feed them idiocracy. Let's have these terrible courses that are totally useless, where they come out dumber than when they went in. And it perpetuates itself because there's this myth of everyone needs education. And it's even more untrue today than it was before, because the education you're providing is all bullshit. And they have these guys who we're short on tradesmen. And I see I have friends of mine that have nothing going on with their lives because they're not that smart. And you go, you would have been an awesome welder and you've had a happy life. My buddy is a blue collar electrician in the union. He makes more money than I do. And I know a lot of lawyers who make $40,000 a year.
Well, it depends where you're going. Starting salary, if you're like Harvard or U of M, I think it's $160,000. They must have gone to a crappy school, man.
There's a glut. There's too many lawyers.
Yeah, I know. You're telling me. We have feminists threaten to sue us all the time. I don't know what it is. They must get all the pro bono work in the country, these feminists. We constantly get requests to remove their image. That's right. You were texting me asking, well, what was that image with the feminists? We had a feminist who put out this image of her giant fat self with a t-shirt that says, I'm an effing feminist. And she used it to promote her, I think, Stop and Stare clothing line. So we're like, well, this is perfect for a feminist meme, and we added some text, and then she claimed that her mother was in the hospital and it was causing her great anguish to remove it. And as a courtesy, I removed it, but then I realized she was probably lying. And you asked me, you said, what image was it? And I sent it to you, you said, oh yeah, I'd use it, but if she commits suicide, that'd be a real liability.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens with these feminists. Like when I showed up in my underwear in this video, for those of you who haven't seen it, you can go to the website and see the video. It's perfectly legal, right, to be in your underwear. You have that guy in New York, the cowboy. But feminists can say, oh, it caused recall to rape, and so I feel like it was sexual harassment. And they can claim rape to a cop, and then you end up in a situation because they just don't believe in language anymore. They choose to make it up as they go.
Well, wasn't it funny, too, how the second that she felt threatened or there was any kind of uncomfortableness, she threw in her sick mom right into the, my mom's sick, my mom's sick.
Yeah.
So shallow and weak.
Well, guys don't do that unless someone makes a mom joke and you're trying to nail them back. Like, my mom has cancer.
Yeah. In that case, it's funny.
Exactly.
We had this thing. So you know the whole deal with Dove Charney, right?
Which deal?
So AA, American Apparel, wanted him out.
Oh, yeah.
They needed an excuse, so they said, it's all these sexual harassment lawsuits.
Right, because he was Mr. Illegal Immigration.
Yes. So the lawsuits were long dead, but they kept coming back. And I think one of the reasons is I put these pictures on my site. One is of Kimbra Lowe, nude, getting fucked by Dove. Oh, sorry.
Good
getting,
Lord, Gavin.
Sorry. Making love to Dove. And the other ones are from this other girl, Irene Morales, and she is pleasuring herself. And that's relevant because they went on Good Morning America or one of these shows, you know, dressed in little Hillary Clinton suits and said, Kimbra Lowe said she was raped and Irene Morales says she was a sex slave. So the pictures are from the sexual encounter she's talking about, so mm-hmm. that proves it's not rape. And the Irene Morales was sending him disgusting, perverted texts after she was done working at American Apparel.
Right.
So I would never put up pictures like that normally, but they were relevant to the case, and they're asking for $250 million from Dove. It ended up ruining him. He's got no money, I don't think. That was a $400 million company. It's about to file for bankruptcy.
American Apparel is?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that.
One of the biggest charges was Kimbra Lowe tried to kill herself, I believe. So now it becomes a criminal act, which is why I said that to you about that picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, American Apparel's on the outs.
It's funny. They came, you know, they grew more popular in Montreal. A lot of people don't realize that. Montreal, they're behind as far as technology, but they're way ahead as far as fashion. And American Apparel was huge in Montreal before they started setting up in malls here in the States. And
yeah. That's what Dove is. He's a Shimada Jew. And that's a classic Montreal guy, the Jewish English hustler. And when you apply that guy, who's perfectly bilingual and can hustle and get through the dirt of right. Montreal bureaucracy, he just murders in a free country like America.
Well, let me, we have to go keep the lights on from these evil capitalist sponsors. Gavin McGinnis will be back after this. Stay tuned and we'll be sure to keep bleeping him. Back with Gavin McGinnis. You know, it's funny you were talking about American Apparel. Because this is something I find interesting about you. What's that face? What are you doing?
These bags, this allergic reaction makes for so
whole. I don't know, but Benadryl is what I imagine a hangover would feel like. I've never actually been hungover, but Benadryl just ruins me for the entire day.
No. Benadryl, you're just sluggish. A hangover is like you're being sued and the mob just put a hit out on you and you can't find your son. He's lost.
I don't know if that's quite, if I would go that, but possibly, I don't know. See, that's the thing. That's a perfect leftist argument. It's like, you haven't done heroin? How can you have an opinion on it being legal? Well, I guess you're right. I haven't done it. So, though pretty much everyone who's done morphine has effectively done heroin. Little known fact, heroin was developed as a synthetic non-addictive alternative to morphine. Talk about a screw up. I wanted to go back to American Apparel because that's something I find really interesting that Americans might not know. Now, you're a pretty profane guy. You're pretty rough around the edge, around the edges, but you're also a man of faith. And you've talked about how you're kind of growing in that too. You came to it, came back to it a little bit later.
Came to it.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I guess
my dad said that me baptizing my kids was child abuse.
Oh.
But he doesn't think third term abortions are bad.
Good Lord.
Nice definitions of abuse, huh?
I hate to tell you, your father's a sick man.
Murder's fine. Splashing of water is abuse.
Yeah, that's a little bit bizarre. Okay, so you came to faith later on. But American Apparel is interesting because their ads have always been risque here in the United States. But I remember there was an ad in Montreal. And I went there and there was an ad of they sell these sort of mesh bodysuits. And there was a girl on all fours from behind, no underwear. And this was, you know, the size of an entire wall. And I remember just pointing to someone there saying, hey, listen, obviously I don't care. I like looking at that. I'm a guy biologically, but a kid can walk in here, man. He goes, well, we're very, very forward in our advertising. And as someone who is personally pretty edgy, do you see that, though, as sort of a problem, a cultural pulling at the twine of the fabric? I mean, Montreal, our Times Square, is club supersex, is strip clubs, and it doesn't have good ramifications. Does that at all concern you with our generation here? Or it's something I would imagine you have an interesting opinion on.
I don't want kids seeing porn that involves fornication, but I have no problem with the human body. And I thought those ads were all pretty tasteful. I mean, the woman looked sexy, but I don't see nudity as
no, this was different. The one I'm talking about was actually in the store, and it was literally a girl. Picture her from behind on all fours. You could basically use it as an anatomy chart.
Oh, you could see her.
You could see her nether regions entirely. Yeah,
isn't that illegal?
Not in Montreal. I mean, think of the signs for the strip clubs there, or the moving neon hand with the butt in Montreal. It's like it is so awful. And when I tell Americans, they don't believe me. I'm like, oh no, you're exaggerating. I'm like, no, I'm not. And innocence.
There's a bar called Fofun Electrique. Is a Fofun the entire butt, or is it more specific?
It's funny. Remember, everyone was like, hey, want to go to Fofs? And I was that straight-laced kid. I was like, no, I don't want to go to Fofs because weird stuff happened there. And yeah, as someone who is more sort of libertarian in my approach to enforcing any kind of beliefs, I also see the negative ramifications in Montreal. I mean, Montreal is actually, people are going to get mad at this, you know this, French Canadians have about the same teen pregnancy rate, dropout rate, and abortion rate as Black Americans. And that's the single highest demographic in all of those, you know, anywhere really in the industrialized world. Quebec has the highest abortion rate in the industrialized world if you were to judge it as a country. And you've got to say, well, this hypersexualized culture at some point has got to have something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough subject as a dad because before all this, I didn't care about any of it and thought it was all totally rad. And I still, I mean, we go to this anarchist commune sometimes in England where this band Crass built a sort of they call it Dial House. And there's tons of kids running around and a lot of the people are nude. So you'll be talking to a nude guy and there's a kid running in the background. I don't see anything wrong with that. It's totally asexual. But
I'm the same way, yeah.
Really?
No, I mean, I would do that, and I also, I remember my dad, you know, when I started out acting, was like, well, what's your line? I said, I would do a full-on streaking, you know, my Doniger showing if it was supposed to be like a frat scene and it was a dumb idiot. I said, but the moment you get into something that's sexualized, particularly if I'm married, I wouldn't do any of it. So I would sooner be completely nude running down the street than I would be doing any kind of a sex scene, even if there was no nudity in a film. Remember, because I had to think about those things. And my dad said, oh, okay, that's fair.
Is he square too?
You think that's square?
No, I'm just asking.
My dad is, he's actually called into the show. He swears almost zero, but when he does, it punctuates the sentence. And he's probably, to a leftist, probably the most offensive person you could imagine, but he's never dirty.
Well, my dad's never not dirty, and my parents were always nude when I was a kid. They're still nude. Like if they come to visit, my mom will be walking back from the bathroom, and I'll see all her geriatric genitalia. Oh farts! I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Well, let me tell you this about my dad to give you an idea. My dad, I remember, he gave me the sex talk when I was three, just so you know. So he just said, you know what? We don't want you to think of it as anything dirty at all. But as a Christian, he wanted me to understand the parameters that he thought and he raised me to be appropriate for sex. So I had it at 3 and actually got, they called home in preschool because they were doing the stork business, and I corrected her with medically accurate terminology. So my dad was never, and he, same thing in church, he would get in trouble for just telling people, he's like, hey, this is, he would be really open about sex, but he believed it was between a husband and wife, but he was never a prude about it.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I'll never see anyone happier than a young Catholic girl who churned out a bunch of kids early. Unfortunately, that option is pretty rare these days, especially in New York City.
Yeah.
And I'm of two minds about it. I mean, I'm definitely not scared of sex. Oh, that's what I was going to say. There is a real latent Puritanism in America, that, and it's shocking coming from sex-positive Montreal, where it's the right and the left are both really uptight about it. The right just can't handle any sort of nudity and any kind of allusions to sex, and the left has this whole no means no, and like I just heard today on Anthony's
And yes means no,
and loving it and then regretting it 8 years later means no, and you go, you just sound like the sexual Puritans on the far right. Even there was feminists saying that the kiss cam.
Oh my gosh, you know what? Hold on a second. We have to go to a break. Let's go to the, well, for those listening, this will be available online in a web extended version where Gavin will go into conservative and leftist sexology uncensored. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you for watching this video and taking a break from salacious internet pornography. We know it may be by accident, but we appreciate it anyway. And you can watch one of these other free videos or click subscribe by punching my face with your mouse. That's kind of fun. Or punching the subscribe button where we've actually written it out for you. It's all free, but there probably aren't going to be any breastises.